You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on December 28, 2022, and is titled Overcomers. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
And these kingdom connections and all these different things, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff. One quick testimony today. Robin has some shoulder issues, so in order to get an MRI, she has to have physical therapy. Well, that looks to me like it's just backwards. I mean, why not just take a look and see what's the matter, and then we'll work on it. So anyhow, we get there, and I go with her today. I'm sure she enjoyed that, and they start telling me all this, how this is going, well, they're going to charge, and this, that, and other, and this little old gal, she's trying to explain it, and I'm seeing this one number here, and then I'm kind of hung up, and my joy is eluding me. And so anyhow, I was a little bit combatant, because I thought that a system that's set up by men, that's not governed by God, a system that seems to want to drain your pockets and fill the coffins, is what it looks like to me. That system, I'm a little leery of it. And so she goes back there for her physical therapy. And I'm watching, and this guy, he's up lifting her arms and doing this and that and other. And it just looked like they was having a really good time. All they needed was some music. And so I'm sitting over there wondering, this is costing $500. I mean, come on, man. Yeah. So anyhow, then she finally waves me back. It's time for me to come back here. Well, this guy is a heck of a nice guy. And the minute I get over here, I realize this guy is a really nice guy. And he made one little statement when he got ready to walk off, and something about maybe we can do this therapy and this will all heal up, and you might just get healed. Just walked off, and I thought, wait a minute. So then he comes back, going through all the processes, tells her exercises, everything she needs to do. He's kind of stumbling around there for a minute, and he said, there's one thing that I just always intend on doing. He said, would you let me pray for you? Now, buddy, this guy knew how to do it. Yeah, he wasn't guessing about Jesus. This guy's a kingdom guy. So I told him when he got through praying, I said, thank you for helping me to continue to realize and understand that in these seven mountains, these institutions of men, there are still kingdom vessels that have felt the call or the need, moved into a position that are governed by God, even though the system's not. They're governed by God. If we'll learn how to operate in that, and I got enough to keep us busy for the next 12 months. If you'll show up, I promise to come with the goods every time. And I would bring every friend and neighbor with you, because I don't know anybody within 500 miles of this place is going to be telling it like this, right straight from the throne room of grace, that we walk and we do these kingdom connections. We live in the kingdom of God while we're in a world that's influenced by the prince of the air, and we overcome. We conquer and we overcome every attack, every fiery dart, every attempt to deceive, every attempt to disrupt, and we live in a kingdom that's a kingdom of love, joy, and peace, abundant. We live under the rulership of Jesus in the economy of God, and we live in righteousness and holiness according to his standards and not the standards of the condemnation of man-made religion. Yeah, so that's where we're headed, if y'all want a little dose of it. And next week, I don't know what I'm going to talk on next week. And then after that, I'm sure planning on starting with the seven letters in the book of Revelation written to the churches of Asia Minor. So that's where I'm headed. So anyhow, just a little heads up, but I think we're going to have a really good time here when They said, you know, over the last few months, I've gotten really nice. And, you know, I got one buddy. He said, I got to find me another preacher to talk to. You done went soft. And that's not exactly the words he used, but we'll just keep family hour here. But anyhow, I think God I'll talk about this a little bit probably next week, but reclaiming my focus prayerfully on each one of you. I think I've failed a little bit over the last months in the busyness of things and everything else. I don't think I've lost my ability to hear God and bring whatever we need, but I know that I have not committed myself to sitting still and let God bring each one of you to mind, and that I join with Him in ministering to His people the things that are necessary for us to do this kingdom living thing while we're here. So I'm going to do better at that. I promise I'll do better at that. So anyhow, anybody got anything, any announcements? We're going to have Bible study Sunday morning. Is Sunday morning New Year's Day? Good. Get you 2 aspirin and come crack your Bible open. That's a joke, y'all. That's a joke. Okay. All right. Well, let's pray right quick, and we're going to get the Murphs up here. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for your word. I thank you for everything about you. We thank you for this season we've just enjoyed that commemorates your birth. And for those of us who are born again, we know you were born. We know, Jesus, that you are Lord over your people, that you are King of your kingdom, yet owner of the universe. So, Lord, we bless you today and give you praise. And we'd ask you now, Lord, to guide my words, guide what we do here, that, Lord, we would glean from your word, that we would glean from the Holy Spirit, that Lord, we would leave here with something, that we leave here better than we came in, and that, Lord, we'd leave here usable as vessels of your kingdom, vessels of your Holy Spirit, instruments, God, that we too would go outside and be a kingdom connection. So help us learn how to do this and expose your kingdom. We love you, Jesus. We truly do, and we bless you now. Give you all the glory in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Has any of you ever had a plan that you had, and then when you get to the beginning of what you was going to do, everything changes, right? Has anybody ever, am I the only one that's ever done that? I've done it. Well, I did it tonight because the Lord been stirring on me, and He's still stirring on me on this, what I'm going to say here in a minute. But we got here, and I said, man, we got to sing at least one fun one or fast one or something. So we didn't even bring any music, and we're just going to sing it. But just going through the Christmas season. And this song, and I'll tell you about it once we get through. But we sang it when I did the deal, and it's the Christmas version of I Saw the Light. So I was a shepherd boy tending sheep one night. All of a sudden there came a mighty light. The angels sang and gave us such a fright. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. We were the wise men that looked to the sky. We saw a bright star and wondered why. Messiah's coming, oh, what a sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Let's just thank you for His goodness today. Lord, we thank you for the goodness that you have poured out on us, for the stuff that you do for us. We celebrate your hand. But Lord, we celebrate your heart, your passion for us, that you will never leave us, that you're gave it all for just for us. If it would have just been me, you would have done it. So, Lord, we thank you for your goodness, that your mercy is new every morning. And we bless you. We thank you for what we're going to hear from your word now. And we bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, how about a big praise offering? That's pretty, that's good stuff. Good stuff. Well, how many of y'all might listen to a little Coffee with the Colonel this morning? Anybody listen to a little Coffee with the Colonel this morning about being an overcomer, being more than a conqueror? I think I'm going to stand up tonight. We got a pretty good bunch around here. How many of y'all felt like sometime in the last 12 months you got your hind end handed to you? Anybody had your hind end handed to you lately? Some of you young schoolers may not know what that means, but if you're a blessed man, someday behind the barn, somebody will hand your hand in to you. But it's easy for the world. There's just a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things that can get our attention. There's a lot of things that sneak in on us. There's just a lot of stuff can creep up. There's a lot of stuff can begin to rule your life. There's a lot going on out in the world. I talked a little bit about it this morning, and I'm going to cover some of it again, then we're going to move into kingdom issues. But one of the things that I've been pondering on a lot, when I got born again 27 years ago, I was going to change the world. I'm telling you, I was on fire for Jesus, and every time they poured a little word on me, it was like pouring gas on a fire. And I wanted to get everybody saved. I was just going to change the world. Y'all had been sitting around here for 20-something years, realize I still got some of that in me. I mean, I wasn't afraid to take on Donald Trump. Sure wasn't afraid to take on the other team. But I'd get in the mix. I'm going to fix this. We're going to fix this world. I'm not telling you tonight this world's not fixable. But I'm going to tell you the world has been given over to the influence of the prince of the air, according to the Bible. The world is the cosmos. It's the arrangement of things on top of God's created earth. It's a kingdom of its own where everything, a prince pretends to be king. Where a lot of opportunity for different things and different people to rule in our lives all happen in the cosmos. All sin comes from the cosmos. All temptation comes from the cosmos. And for so many of us, myself included, I've had so much focus on the cosmos. All while I'm praying, reading my Bible, and listening to God, and knowing that I dwell in the kingdom. So from the inside of the kingdom, staring out, it's easy to do this. Point at everything that's bad, everything that's wrong, everything that's godless, everything that's evil. How many of y'all recognize any of that in the last 40 years? Yeah, now you just turn on the thing and it comes right in your living room. Every kind of godless, perverted activity that you could imagine that people wouldn't even speak about when I was a little kid, now you turn on your TV and it's live and in color right in front of your face. That's the cosmos. That's the world. And then there's a kingdom. Kingdom of God, where the cosmos has no influence. I want you to hear that. That the world should have no influence in the kingdom of God. So how many of you believe that in your religious life, your religious activities, that you've seen the world influence what we deem to be the church? Must not be kingdom church, because the world cannot influence the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit does not bow his knee to Baal. The Holy Spirit does not succumb to the prince of the air. The Holy Spirit stands upright. He's the plumb line. It's the Spirit of Jesus. That's why the Word of God is so necessary. To have a kingdom vision and a kingdom perspective and a kingdom knowledge. to set our minds on the kingdom of God and not let everything in the cosmos make us fearful or worried or doubt ourselves. You know, March of 2020, that was the big revealer. A couple of my prophetic buddies of mine, we've been using that word revealed now for a while. But that was the big revealer, who's got faith and who's got fear. You know, our biggest issue in 2020 for the religious activities was we have to hold on to the idol when we should have been holding on to the hem of the garment. Yeah, I won't camp out there very long, but that's, we saw who we are if we would just look in the mirror of this word. If we'd pull us a James 2, we, or James 1, we'd see who we've been. But we have the opportunity. This is not a word to condemn. This is a word to say we have the opportunity. If we'll lay down our lives, that includes a lot of stuff, Jesus will pick it up. He'll pick us up. He'll lift us up. The Bible says that the same Spirit of God that raised Jesus up from the dead has now brought life to our mortal bodies. That's the kingdom of God. That's what makes us more than conquerors. It makes us overcomers. What's been handing your tail to you? Over here in John 16, don't turn there. I'll just read these. I've got some places for us to go here in a minute. 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation." That word tribulation is a state of trouble or suffering. The cosmos is set up to make you suffer. The cosmos is set up to ruin your marriage. It's set up to get you overwhelmed, not in the Spirit of God, but overwhelmed in debt. The cosmos is set up to tell you where to be, what to do, and where to go. So when I walked in that little rehab center today, I was absolutely certain that I was in the house of the cosmos. Yet in the world, I found the kingdom of God. And so did my wife. She actually found it first. We've had that happen in airports. Doctor's office, sale barns, just pick a spot. Kingdom connections all over the place, where the Holy Spirit comes together in people and we begin to operate. Whatever any two of you agree on, have you ever heard that? Whatever you agree on in prayer, whatever you do in my name, it'll be done for you. What is not happening in the religious community? Because I think that's what's happened. We've become a religious community. And then there's a kingdom. A kingdom that can't be shaken. A kingdom that will not be turned upside down. A kingdom that will not be destroyed. And for those of you who are born again, that's what's been birthed in you. He said, in me, the world's going to give you tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Now, just real quick, because I don't know what everybody's dealing with, but I gave a little rodeo scenario this morning. That when we go to the team roping this weekend, Dusty might be there, might not. There'll be some other ones around. Guys that I got a rope against. When I get to a roping, I never compete against Dusty. My competition's against that steer. Dusty's going to do what he's going to do. He's going to compete on his steer however he competes. My contest is against that bovine that just coming to shoot, and I got to catch him, and I got to set things up for my partner, and we got to overcome that son of a gun right there. And if we get him knocked out, they're going to give us another one here in a minute, and we got to knock him out too. When I get there this weekend, we're going to knock out a bunch of them. Out of all the steers they give me this weekend, very few will escape the punishment, because I've been practicing. I'm not going to show up with my rope wadded up in the back of my pickup and my horse going to be slobbering all over the neighbor's horse and not knowing what to do, all that stuff. No, we've going to been doing this. Do you know when you get up in the morning that you can overcome? I used an example this morning that I hadn't had a drink in 27 years. You know how you know when you don't drink anymore? If you go for a whole day without drinking. Shoot, that was easy. Well, there we go. All you got to do is get up and do it again tomorrow. That's it. Same way you eat elephant, one bite at a time. You can't swallow the whole sucker at once. No, just get up. And today, it's not going to do it. You know what? Today I got up and said, I'm not having any chocolates today. I've had a lot of chocolates. My sweater believes I've had a lot of chocolates. I didn't have any today. I survived. Tomorrow, I'm going to do it again. Every day I do it, it gets a little easier. Whether you're roping steers or you're getting over chocolate or whatever other stuff you brought with you. Overcomers. He says in 1 John 5:5, he said, who is it that has overcome the world? He who believes in Jesus. He who believes in Jesus. Not that Jesus exists, but who believes in the person of Jesus Christ who was born. We sang all the songs, but this was never about a baby wrapped in a towel. We just made that the centerpiece because that's what's cute. It's about a king who assumed the throne of David, who established a kingdom in the earth. You hear me talk about it all the time. I'm not going to shut up ever again. When Jesus walked on this earth, he preached about the kingdom of God. Them 11 to 12 that followed him around, they couldn't figure nothing out. Peter, he got the Knucklehead of the Year award 4 times in a row or something. And we'll read in Acts 2, maybe if I get there tonight, that at the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, he began to preach about the kingdom of God. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost gets here. Everything's made available. And people begin to realize, men, mere ordinary men, begin to realize the kingdom of God. In John chapter 3, he tells Nicodemus, lest a man be born again, he will not see, nor will he enter the kingdom of God. We got to quit with some of this man-made stuff that if you'll just pray a prayer and blow some snot, you can go to the kingdom someday after 6 guys drop you in the hole. I'm going to venture a guess, and you can tell me if I'm wrong later when we all get there. If you don't know the kingdom of God now, what makes you think you're going to know then? We can't pretend anymore because we've been pretending. Those in the cosmos have had the kingdom hidden from them. While we've been playing church, the power of God to be healed, the power of God to overcome, the power of God to hear. You go through any group of people on a Sunday morning, Wednesday night, I don't care, just pick a crowd. Ask them all to write down on a piece of paper what they heard from God's voice today. I'd hate to see how many blank pieces of paper we'd pick up. John 10 says, my sheep hear me. My sheep know me. And my sheep follow me. Where do the sheep live? In the kingdom. Are they trapped in a cage? No. John 10 said they come and go. They find pasture. But they go through the gate the whole time. I truly believe that's why Jesus washed their feet, and that's why John told about it. John had more insight than the other three put together. He said, Peter argued with him. He said, you're not going to wash my feet. You're going to wash all of me. Jesus said, no. You've already been made clean. I'm just going to wash your feet. That's what coming into the washing of the water of the word. Right out of Ephesians 5. Coming in and out the gate. Every time you go out in the cosmos, you're going to get some poop on your boots. How many of you men are married and know that you can't put your feet on the coffee table with poop on your boots? You got to scrape your boots. Got to clean your feet. It's because we're coming in and going out of the kingdom. That's why we walk in power. We don't walk in a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. You know what we've done for 100 years? We've put people in a pile and told you how to train your flesh to look like a Christian. Can I do that one again, Max? We've been teaching ourselves how to train our flesh to look like a Christian. Don't.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.